Well, good morning, church. It is good to see you. I don't get to look at you from this vantage point often. About 1 o'clock yesterday, I got a text from our fearless leader, and his question to me was, could you have a sermon in your back pocket just in case? We have a stomach bug going through our family. I'm good so far, but already feeling a little questionable. I will keep you posted. And then about 2 o'clock, he said, oh, well, brother, I think you're up. So here I am. Anyway, it's good to be with you, and I pray that what I bring to you I know it's probably not in line with his focus for the month, but it is what I have for you, and I pray that it'll prepare your hearts. Amen. Would you pray with me? Father God, we are grateful to be here, and I thank my brother Brent for reminding us that Thanksgiving is not just a one-time event, that it is an attitude of the heart, and that the message of Christmas is not just one time a year, but it's year-round. And so, Lord, we pray that you'd help us today to feast on your word, Holy Spirit. Indeed, you are the teacher. You are the one who reveals the things of God to us. And I give you permission, Lord, to interrupt if necessary to do what needs to be done. Thank you, Father, for being so gracious to all of us. And we pray for Jeff that you'd heal him, that you'd make this this 24-hour bug shorter, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. The scripture reading this morning. Oh, we're going to move this out a little. I think that's a good idea. Thank you. You're a good man. All right. Scripture reading today, if on your iPhones or on your regular Bibles or wherever it is, or your pew Bibles, is Luke chapter 21, verses 25 through 28. Now, we've been talking, and Ben and Grace talked about looking back to the first Advent, but friends, Advent is both past and future. We believe in the fact that not only did Jesus come as a baby, but that there will come a time that he will return as king, and the things that he will upset stuff in order to set it up, and we are looking forward to that time. And so Jesus, in this passage, in chapter 21, particularly beginning with verse 5, and I won't go with all of it, but I'm just going to pull out this little space here, and let's encounter the Word of God together. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, pay attention, church, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Zig Ziglar has some amazing books on motivation, and in one of those, he talks about NFL quarterback Jeff Hostetler, who was formerly with the New York Giants. Now, Jeff Hostetler began his career as a backup quarterback, and he had spent seven seasons with the Giants. But by the end of his seventh season, he'd thrown less than 200 passes, and none of them had made any difference in the game. And then Phil Sims, the starting quarterback of the Giants, went down with an injury, and Coach Bill Parcells looked to his backup quarterback on the bench and said, "Okay, Jeff, it's your turn." I can identify with that. Jeff Hostetler ran out onto the field and led his team to victory, not only in that game, but in the remaining games of the season, and that included the Super Bowl. Now, Zig Ziglar tells us the rest of the story, that there was more to the story than that. During those 7 years that Jeff was sitting on the bench, he threw thousands of passes through a swinging tire. He worked with his wide receivers and running backs in countless practice sessions, sharpening and honing his skills. He lifted tons of weights, did hundreds of push-ups and sit-ups, jogged many, many miles, did numerous wind sprints. He literally spent hundreds of hours poring over the playbook, studying not only his own offense and defense, but the defenses of the opposing teams. And when Coach Parcells turned to Jeff and said, "Okay, Jeff, it's your turn," he was ready. We are beginning that season of the year known in the church as Advent, as I've talked before. It's a time of preparation. It's a time of getting ready. We experienced a little bit of that after Thanksgiving. One of the things my family in San Antonio does as a tradition is that they go out and they get a fresh green tree. There have been days in the past when they've driven up to one of the tree farms and actually gone to the among the trees and picked one out, and they literally cut it down and load it up. This year they went to Lowe's. Hey, a green tree is a green tree, right? The Latin derivative of the word Advent literally means to come. And so these next 4 weeks, I really encourage you, church, to not fast forward to Christmas. Will you please? Spend time getting ready. Getting ready. Focus your attention on the coming of Christ into our world. You know, look back at the prophets and their words. Particularly, I know that in Isaiah chapter 7, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and she will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. That's one of those prophecies. There are actually 8 prophecies This is an interesting thing. The possibility of those 8 prophecies being fulfilled in one person is roughly comparable to this. If you would take a silver dollar and put a red mark on it, and then if it were possible, the state of Texas could be buried in silver dollars 3 feet deep, and you would throw that silver dollar out into that mixture, and if it also were possible, if you would stir that mixture until you couldn't see that marked silver dollar on the surface. Walk the entire length and breadth of the state, reach out your hand and reach into the pile, and the chances of you picking that silver dollar up the first time is the probability of those prophecies being fulfilled in one human being. Now, if that doesn't blow your mind, nothing will. So we look at the words of the prophets and their expectations for the coming Messiah. We ponder the meaning also of those texts in the New Testament that we've talked about that speak of Christ's return to rule and to judge and to save at the end of time. We live in a time when we literally are surrounded by signs. You ever seen the text dot? It's did you drive anywhere over the Thanksgiving holiday? There's a central control somewhere, and they flash that same message, whether you're in Amarillo or whether you're in Brownsville or anywhere in between. And the text dot signs this week were gobble, gobble. Okay, wait a minute. I'm sorry. You didn't see him, but gobble, gobble, easy on the throttle. Gobble, gobble. Now, some of us had the opportunity to live in an era before interstate highways and before those big signs. A lot of the travel then, young people, was done on two-lane roads, believe it or not. And along those roads, there would often be posted a series of five small red signs with white letters on them. A humorous poem on four of those signs with a fifth sign reserved for their sponsor. Who are we talking about? Oh, there's folks, wise folks in the crowd. Now, for those too young to remember, here's an example of those signs. First sign, drove too long. Second sign, driver snoozing. The third sign, what happened next? The fourth sign, is not amusing. Burma Shafe. Okay, so signs everywhere. There was a young woman who tried to attend a family reunion in Florida, and it had been years since the members of her family had all seen each other, and some had never met each other, and so they'd been looking forward to this event, and it was now time for the event to take place, and she decided to drive instead of fly. But there was a problem. She reached Florida safely, but the distractions of her journey, she was so excited about looking around, and she missed the sign for an important turn. And before long, she was lost, unaware of what to do next. And she missed her turn. She missed most of the reunion. Signs are important. Imagine trying to navigate your way in an area unknown to you without signs or a GPS. Signs keep us aware of our surroundings. They help with directions, and they even help to keep us safe by offering warnings to us. To ignore signs is risky, and sometimes it can be costly. 1941, there were two American soldiers who observed something unusual on their radar, and they reported it on a peaceful Sunday morning, and the young lieutenant thought, these are planes on maneuvers from California, and he said, don't worry about it. And then the date was December 7th, 1941. Signs are important. Our lesson for today says there will be signs in the sun and moon and stars on the earth. Nations will be in anguish and perplexity. Jesus notes that there are signs that will precede his second coming. And he'd also said on another occasion that no one, not even he himself, knew when that day would be. But yet he said there will be signs. These signs will cause people to be terrified. The world will experience an unprecedented state of chaos. Things will be out of control. It's not an easy passage to read. But notice what he says. He says, when these things begin to take place, what does he say? Stand up and lift up your heads. Stand up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. He doesn't say, duck, run for cover. He says, stand up and lift up your heads. Your redemption is drawing near. Especially during Advent, we need to consider this. If we love Jesus, the thought of him coming anytime, whether at Christmas or at the end of time, ought to be an occasion for rejoicing. Didn't Isaac Watts write an incredible Christmas carol? What did it say? Joy to the world. The Lord is come. That's my kind of faith. Isn't it yours? Amen. You know, one pastor talks about an old janitor in seminary that would wait patiently while the seminarians had finished playing, and invariably he sat there reading his Bible, and one of the seminarians said, well, what are you reading? And the old janitor says, I'm reading the book of Revelation. And the seminarian said, well, wow, the book of Revelation? Do you understand it? He says, sure I do. And the seminarian was quite surprised. You know, of course, that's one of those things. You know, somebody said there were 600 interpretations to the book of Revelation. But he said, so this seminarian was amazed. He said, "You understand it? What does it mean?" And very quietly, the old man replied, "It means that Jesus is going to win." And that's all that matters to us, isn't it? Jesus is going to win. And that's good news. No one loves us like Jesus loves us. When those things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And later in the passage, he says, look at the fig tree. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. And even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Wow. I can't wait. Can you? When we see the world going crazy, we know that the kingdom of God is near. Do you know what the kingdom of God is? Someone has said the kingdom of God is what life would be like on earth if God were king and the emperors and kings of this world were not. It is a world where the nations beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Every family has its own vine and fig tree. That means everybody has their own land, and no one is made to live in fear. Man, that sounds like a great place to live. A place where no one is made to live in fear. Does that mean no more cancer? Amen. No more foreclosures on homes? Amen. No more war? No more sickness? No more pain? Sign me up. You know, a lot of times our current situation can cause us to be such a fearful people. But you know, the call for this first Sunday in Advent is not a call for fear. It's a call to faith. Of course, there will be bad things happening in this world, but don't despair. God's got this. And God will never forsake us. A few verses later, Christ says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." Does that mean we can promise it, that we can trust every promise that Christ ever made to us? What's your answer? Yes. Of course it does, including the promise that no matter what happens, he will give us a peace that passes understanding if we will trust in him. I like what you said in the prayer, Brent. No matter what happens, always be thankful. You know, he'll give us that peace that passes all understanding. We can trust his every promise, including the promise he will never forget us or forsake us, including the promise that he has prepared a place for us, and where he is, we will also be there. So his final word to us in this passage is, be always on the watch, like a child waiting for Santa Claus. Always be on watch. Like a couple awaiting the birth of their first child, be on watch. Like a family waiting for the return of their soldier after receiving word that he's safe and headed home, be on watch. There was an Air Force pilot during the first Iraqi war named Robbie Robbins, and after his 300th mission, he was surprised to be given permission to immediately pull his crew together and fly his plane home. And so these young military men flew across the ocean to Massachusetts and then had a long drive to Western PA. They drove all night. And when his buddies dropped Robbins off at his driveway just after sunup, he was astonished to see a big banner across the garage, "Welcome home, Dad." Wait a minute. How in the world could they know? Nobody had called. The crew themselves hadn't expected to leave so quickly. And Robbins relates that when he walked into the house, the kids half-dressed for school screamed, "Daddy!" And his wife, Susan, came running down the hall. She looked terrific, hair fixed, makeup on, and a crisp yellow dress. And he said, "Honey, how did you know?" She said through tears of joy, "I didn't. We knew you'd try to surprise us, so we were ready every day." Wow. You know, that's our attitude toward Advent, isn't it? This is a season for waiting on tiptoe. Our redemption is drawing near. The kingdom is drawing near. Jesus' words will never pass away. You can trust his promises forever. Be watchful and don't be afraid. stand up and look up. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, we get to celebrate this first Sunday in Advent by celebrating the Lord's Supper together. And I'm going to invite you to look at the screen. We're going to do a communion liturgy, for those, as Rush Limbaugh says, for those of you in Rio Linda, it's a pattern of worship. And, you know, maybe liturgy's a new word. It could be a new word to you, but don't be afraid. It's a pattern for worship. And so I invite you to enter into an attitude of preparation as we worship together. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. And could you join me as we pray together? Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now take time to pray your personal prayer of repentance in silence, please. I invite you to hear good news. Jesus died for us while we were yet sinners. And that is the greatest proof of God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, church, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right, Lord, and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give you thanks. You are the creator of heaven and earth. You have made all things and call them good. And even when we rebelled against your love, you did not desert us. You delivered us from captivity. You made covenant to be our God and King, and you spoke to us through your prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church. You delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and you made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he was betrayed and gave himself for us, the Lord Jesus took bread. And after giving you thanks, he broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and he gave thanks to you and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving, Lord, to you as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of the faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Lord, we ask that you send your Holy Spirit upon us who are gathered here out of love for you. And on these gifts, make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Amen.